My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Nothing is over until we decide it is!
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Brewdog Show. And you guys might remember us talking about the Brewdog Brewery. They're out of Scotland. Real nice guy. The head brewer came over for the Great American Beer Fest. He was hanging out with Greg Cook from Stone, who is also his distributor here in the United States. Very nice guy. So today we are sampling his beers.
There's some good beers, too. And Brewdog, James White was the fellow from Brewdog that we met. And you can recapture that. We play a little bit of it, if you want to hear it, the clip from show 121, almost 6 months ago when we were at the GABF. This is a little bit of the conversation we had.
What we wanted to do when we started up, I mean, we wanted to take beer styles that we were passionate about, give them a kind of innovative contemporary twist, but then use the kind of market and the packaging of them to take them towards a new sector of the marketplace. So make it not something that's going to put your grandparents to sleep, but make it something that's kind of quite edgy and quite cool. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're two young guys, myself and Martin was 24 when we started, so we wanted to take these beers and make them to appeal to people our age, kind of young people, and just do something a bit cool with them.
So that's James Watts and Greg Cook sitting there silently next to him, oddly enough.
I enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun meeting all those guys out there.
It was. And they produce a good product, and we're finally getting around to trying some of it. We're drinking on Mike's home brews, waiting on the perfect opportunity to open our brew dog, and Rick has already popped open, which one, the Punk?
I'm drinking the Punk IPA. It's a 6% postmodern classic pale ale. The beer of inherent contradiction, this heavyweight of the beer world is strikingly delicate with a white gold appearance. The light fruity aroma dominates the initial confrontation. Lychee, kiwi, and passion fruit all prevail with subtle nuances of cherry and strawberry. Don't be fooled, however, by this smooth medium-bodied ale as it trickles down your throat as well as this wolf in sheep's clothing begins to grow teeth. The bite comes as the bitterness builds and endures no matter how hard the malty sweetness of the alcohol tries to tame this ferocious beast. An exciting beer that will captivate the whole body drinking experience.
Wow. So, that's a lot of mouthful there.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of marketing speak. My first impression, it is very light. It's cloudy. It's almost kind of a white cloudiness that you get from, like a wit beer. It's a little golden color. Very little head, and it was bitter. That was the very first distinguishing characteristic of it. It's very bitter on the tongue. And as you drink on it, it's very easy drinker, actually.
You said you used the word citrusy earlier when you were drinking on it.
Yeah, I was getting grapefruit, honestly. I'm not getting any of the cherry. Subtle nuances of cherry and strawberry. Yeah. So,
or lychee or passion fruit.
Yeah, none of that. But it's definitely grapefruit.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And that's, to me, they're either go to the grapefruit or to the pine road. Sometimes you get some kind of
I like
mix
that grapefruit, man. That's my fave.
Now, what's the finish like? Is the bitterness, does it stick with you? Does it fade?
It fades. It's like initially the bitterness is clearing your palate, and I am getting fruit characters now. It's coming through the as the beer warms a bit. I'm getting a bit more fruity characters. Okay. So,
drinking out of just a pint glass, are you?
I am, and I'm pretty much through my bomber already. So,
well,
yeah,
good.
It's a very enjoyable beer.
Well, what's the alcohol on that one?
6.
Okay.
So just right there, that's not really high for an IPA. It could go up a little higher, but not an imperial yet. And we're
It says Punk IPA, but it says Postmodern Classic Pale Ale, so it's getting a little confusing there.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they mix their terms around.
Well, when we were talking with those guys out there at Denver, they were talking about how they were bucking the system out there.
Worrying too much about labels.
Right. And the styles of beer that they – you just didn't see those styles of beer being made in that country.
Yeah.
They're more of the English bitters and I guess – I don't know what you call them. But,
and I guess we did mention they're in Scotland.
Right.
Which is not really a super brew mecca.
Right.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Except for the Scottish Ale, the wee heavy, the 60 shilling,
true,
80 shilling. You know.
True. But that's where I think they were going to go, well, let's do something different.
Uh-huh.
I mean, IPA. Name another Scotch IPA.
Right.
Not really much comes to mind, right? Scottish, like you just mentioned, Rick, they tend to be malty, big on the malts, not so much the hops. So this is and these guys are aggressive. They got all their labels and everything have a kind of an attitude, a kind of roughed up look.
More American style.
Very much so. And they, in the interview, they were talking about the American influences that they had. And that I remember when we were talking in the interview about how we said it was like things had gone kind of full circle. Right, a lot of the American beers have been influenced by English classics and styles. We'd taken them, jacked them up a notch, put an American twist on them, and these Scotch guys were inspired by that. And now they're bringing it back home, back over there, and trying to reintroduce it to some of the more mainstream drinkers. So, kind of interesting.
I noticed on their website, one of the bottles has a Speyside on there that they. Brew or age the beer in a cask, and I guess it's a Scotch cask. But I know there was one of my favorite Scotches. It's actually they use the Speyside peat moss where they make the peat moss, and they burn it in the barrels to charcoal the barrels and all
so
that
stuff. So that's that to get the Scotch flavor.
Yeah,
and Rick hadn't wondered what you were talking about something. They had there that was aged in barrels?
Right. They've got some gold label beers from BrewDog, and I've got one. It's called Storm. This is not the real expensive one, but they've got some that have been in the very fancy Scotch barrels. So.
Okay. Well, we're about to pop up in our Riptide. Here we've been drinking on Mike's homebrew because we're going down the stout path, while you've gone down the IPA path. We start off with homebrew and we're drinking Mike's milk stout, right?
Yep, milk stout
came out good.
Little homebrew kit from Northern Brewer.
Yeah, so good stuff. How long you had this in sitting up?
Only been in the keg about 2 weeks, I guess.
Okay, so this is still pretty young and it'll settle a little bit. Not a lot of hop at all. To it.
Oh, no.
And I don't know what the IBUs, or not the IBUs, the ABV, the alcohol by volume on this is.
It's probably around 5.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a whole lot. So what we're about to pop open with this BrewDog is an 8%. This is Riptide, a twisted, merciless stout. And while we're pouring this, we were looking up for some background. And I came across an article written by our buddy Rick Sellers at Pacific Brew News. Apparently, almost a year ago, the boys at BrewDog got into a little bit of trouble because of these labels and some of the attitudes that prevail over there at BrewDog, and they were written up by the Portman Group, whoever the hell they are, but they must be some kind of big deal in the UK. You can learn more about that at pacificbrewnews.com. Go over there and search for BrewDog. But it mentioned that they went to court, I believe, and sued them because of their labels. And it was basically, they said the Twisted Merciless Stout, which is the tagline under Riptide, was like promoting violence and consumption of alcohol. And Rick, you were talking about on the side, it said, BrewDog, man's best friend, I don't know what the hell is this, conceited, lurking, tormenting, under the cursed shadows and flow, creaking, twisting, haunting, wherever it may go, conspiring, plaguing, besetting, deep under an eerie sea, trapped, captivating, bewitching, they have no chance to flee, etc.
Somebody's been reading Jack the Ripper.
Somebody's been getting their poem on. And it says, serving suggestion, pour into a glass and enjoy with an air of aristocratic nonchalance, effortless. So this is a bunch of, you know, marketing splooge all over the side of the bottle there. But whatever the Portland group got, they took offense to this.
See, over here in the United States, we have the Pelosi group.
Yeah. So they went and they just, you know, just wrote up, and Rick has links to all this stuff and what the citations are on it. So I have no idea what was the outcome of that. It'd be kind of interesting to follow up and find out, you know, what. Obviously, it didn't deter Greg Cook from bringing them over.
No.
Putting them on the shelf probably helped close the deal.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we poured ours, and Rick, you said the one you had had a little bit of cloud and was like a whipped beer. This has got the
dark cloud.
The dark. I wouldn't say black because I'm getting a little bit of light. I can see a little bit of light
reddish.
Yeah. Reddish, yeah. Dark, blackish, darkish, reddish. Not a lot of head, and the kind of dissipates. It's got a little bit of cling.
I think it's that alcohol knocking down that head.
What are you smelling? You get anything off that?
Not really.
Smelling some sugar, like some syrups, and maybe a little bit of alcohol.
I'm kind of stopped up, been fighting the sinuses over the weekend.
Well, this, unlike, you know, in your milk stout, like you said, it didn't have a lot of nose. This has got a little bit, nothing extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But, what do you think?
I like it. It's got
a
little alcohol bite to it.
It does. And it's not as heavy, though, as you would have thought.
You get the sweetness of the alcohol, I think.
Yeah. But not. It's not like cloying like some of the things that come in. That's pretty good. Very good, interesting taste. Got a little tiny chocolate note on the finish.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm getting that, too.
Yeah. And not like the dry one on some of these, but, yeah, kind of. It's pretty good. Kind of more of a chocolate than a cocoa. Definitely got a little bit of alcohol burn to the thing. So, all right, so this is pretty good. And, Rick, I know you got a bottle of this, but you're putting off opening yours.
Well, yeah, if I drank all four bombers I have tonight, then I wouldn't be going to work tomorrow.
There you go. All right, so, and speaking of the law and the long arm of that said law, one of Mike's favorite TV stars has gotten in trouble these days. And you were kind of upset about this, right?
No, I think it's hilarious, to be honest with you. Vince Shalomi, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, the ShamWow guy, he got arrested for beating up a hooker. And the headline reads, ShamWow guy beats up cannibal hooker. And what happened was when they had a dispute over the money, I think, or something, and then they were kissing and all this stuff, and she tried to bite his tongue off.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so says here he paid her $1,000.
Oh, this is high dollar.
So he's making good money selling ShamWow. At least he was.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to make much more from ShamWow now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they have a morals clause in his contract, you think?
Yeah, it could be. You think?
No, it's his company. That's his company.
Oh, he's the guy?
He distributes that himself.
Okay.
And that ShamWow, it's made in Germany, and they make good stuff there.
So did you think he beat her up with a ShamWow? It mopped up every bit of blood.
Yeah, all the blood was soaked up and squeezed back into his veins.
God. Oh, that's just, I mean, all kinds of, well, first, don't ever put your mouth on a hooker.
No.
You don't know where she's been.
That's
right. Or maybe you do. You just don't put your mouth on one.
If you do it first, then that way you know where she's been, right?
Yeah, God. Well, at least for that 3 minutes. You don't know where she was a half hour earlier.
That's right.
That's just
nice. Well, you know, Vince also promotes the slap chop, and he's got that line in there, "You're going to like my nuts."
Yeah.
Yeah. You think he used that on the hacker? Maybe she realized who he was, and that's why she did it.
Slap chop.
Well, he's going to get a whole new definition of slap chop in the joint. He's going to need a ShamWow to clean himself up after they get through with them.
I can hear it now. Hey, Vince, I'm Bubba. I'm your new roommate.
And you my new girlfriend. Oh, brother. Well, we got another long arm of the law story when we come back. And
Breaking the law.
Yeah, boy. It's all about BrewDog and laws, apparently. And Rick's got another IPA, and we're going to still drink on our BrewDog. We'll be right back.
She looked at me real cool. Mm-hmm. Said, Tom, you ain't nothing but an overgrown fool. I'm gonna leave you. I'm gonna leave you behind.
She didn't say that, did she?
Yeah. I said, baby, let me tell you, a good fool is hard to find.
You know, I saw her at the supermarket the other day, and I said, now, baby, if you leave Tommy, it would hurt him to his soul.
That's right. I just can't understand why a woman can be so cold. But a good fool, a good fool's hard to find. You told her that?
Yeah.
Take a lesson from me, baby. A good fool's hard to find.
Oh, man, you're a good friend. Woo!
I didn't have much to lose. She left me nothing, Coco, but a pair of this old shoe. I said, a good fool is hard to find. That's what I said. Take a lesson from me, baby. A good fool is hard to find.
Told when they made young man Tommy, somebody went and broke the mold. But a good fool,
that's right,
a good fool's hard to find. You better let's take a lesson from me, baby. A good fool is hard to find. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go home and get ourselves right. We're going to go step out tonight and go down to downtown San Francisco. And I know we're going to find at least 2 or 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 women that are pool shopping this evening.
Tommy Castro. He's going to be at Memphis in May, and Rick's going to be here at Memphis in May,
and I'll be here at Memphis in
May. Mike's going to be here at Memphis in May. So we all.
Hey, my wife's
here.
Going to Memphis in May.
Get out, yeah. Really?
She wants to hear James Taylor.
Oh God! Well, good luck with
JT.
That.
JT.
I will. I will be at the opposite end of the park.
You and me both.
I have no desire, but you know what? There's something for everyone.
Yep.
At Memphis in May.
Probably the girls will load up and go down to see JT, and we'll load up and go to the blues tent.
It would probably be loaded up.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
And, I don't know, guys. I might be hanging with the girls on that one.
You think?
Really?
You can chaperone them.
Yeah.
You a JT dude?
Not me.
He's kind of mellow. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I gotta throw something out here though, and this is like one of those discoveries where you know where you like something, you know you like something, and then you find out even more reasons to like it. Shinedown is one of the bands coming.
Uh-huh.
Now my wife loves Shinedown. They're very talented. We play some of their stuff, and she's looking at their website today. She said, "Oh look, this guy likes beer." The drummer, whose name escapes me at the moment, at shinedown.com is starting on their blog every month or odd week or so. He's going to write about beers that he likes.
Get out of here.
Under his things he likes, he lists Trappist beer. He wrote a good article on Abita Restoration Ale. So this guy, it's like, man, their stock just went up even more.
Now, where are they from?
They are out of Jacksonville, Florida. He's originally from Louisiana by way of Colorado Springs. So they come around. But, you know, they come through Memphis all the time.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. So
neat. That is neat.
Yeah. So even one additional reason to appreciate Shinedown. I may have to drop them a line, let them know we know where all the good beer is hid, and see if we can't talk to us a drummer on future shows. Who knows? Don't cost nothing to ask, right?
No, it does not.
So
we need to hammer them and try to get some backstage passes or something like
that. Yeah, that'd be good. Or anything free.
Hey, why don't we all three of us start banging their website and talking about beer and see what type of response
they
we
do
get.
Have a little bit of traffic being a very popular band. But
yeah, but he's a drummer. I mean, you're not trying to get in touch with the head lead singer. So
this is
he might actually be pretty receptive.
You know what? There's only one way to find out.
We'll invite him to the studio to have some Trappist beers.
There you go. That's what I'm thinking, because it does repel zombies.
Yeah.
So we're still drinking on our Brew Dog, and it's getting better as it warms up. And,
yeah, it's good beer.
And Rick, you've popped open your new Brew Dog, which is called Storm?
Yeah, I'm drinking the Storm. It's an 8% alcohol by volume. It's a malt beverage aged in Islay Scotch whiskey barrels. And the read on the back of the bottle is pretty cool. I'll skip to the fun part. It says, the combination of Islay whiskey casks and New Zealand hops is one of polar opposites on many levels. Drinking this beer is like being caught in the eye of a force 12 North Atlantic storm. Heavily peated, demonic, smoked Islay whiskey and the fruity hop flavors of our IPA should not go well together, but they do. So very nice.
You said, what was the first thing you said after that? What did you say? It was charred or smoked? Or?
Yeah, I'm getting the taste of char. So okay. It's definitely a peat smoked character to it.
But that was in a good way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and but it's,
oh, this is very enjoyable.
But it's an IPA with that char taste. That's just contradiction, isn't it?
Yeah, with a little bit of the Scotch whiskey also. So it says Zeitgeist in a bottle. So I hope I pronounced that correctly.
I have no idea. Zeitgeist, tomato, tomato.
That's the hardcore?
No, Storm.
Oh, he's doing the Storm.
Storm.
Doing the Storm. So, very nice. It sounds great. We're going to have to get our hands on it. It's just now landed in Memphis. So, if it's here, you should be able to get it anywhere.
I don't see the Storm on their website.
It's out there. You said that was one of the more special ones, though, Rick, that they aged, the barrel aged?
Right. Well, Mike brought up the paradox, which is Islay grain and it's whiskey cask aged imperial stouts. That's like a gold label series.
Mm-hmm.
They have three or four of those out right now. This was still part of the blue label series, so it was a little more affordable. It's like $6 for the bottle. But
okay. pretty, but some of them got a little pricey.
Yeah, they were up. I forgot the exact price. I want to say $13 to $18, somewhere in that range.
Yeah,
they were well above 10 for a 12-ounce bottle. So,
oh, 12-ounce. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and but you know, like Sam Calagione said, even anybody can afford the most expensive bottle of beer.
Yeah. But yeah. These were like in the Glenfiddich Scotch barrels or whiskey barrels, you know. Yeah. So
good stuff.
It's the top notch stuff.
Now we were talking about this is about BrewDog and breaking the law, and we've recently. You know, just so we'd fit in with everybody else, we got in trouble with the law in kind of a roundabout way. So the story goes, I'm coming home, and I get a phone call from our beer distributor, and I do their website, and he said the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation is after us. We have got violations on our website. We got to get it down. So I go pull up the website, memphisbeersandwines.com. And one of the things was there was a bit on there about you could upload a video and win a keg party. Well, that apparently is out of bounds for a distributor to do.
Breaking the law.
So I had to take that off. But the other two things he said, we couldn't figure out where is it. Allegedly, we were bad-mouthing Old English 800 and Jack Daniels, neither of which this distributor carries. I looked everywhere trying to find where in the hell is it, and I can't find it anywhere on the website. And I noticed on the front page there's a link to the YouTube channel, which they were adding videos. It's like, oh, maybe they added something in there, you know, that was showing. And I went and looked. Nope, nothing. I go back, and I noticed the last thing on the page I saw was, and visit our favorite podcast, Big Foamy Head. So I got a Big Foamy Head. I look. And I don't see anything about Old English 800. And then I noticed the big banner, the Beer Safari Holiday Show. And I click play, and the very first thing you see is Mr. Rick Hagerbaumer talking about how that fat bastard Santa screwed us over and gave him this drain pour of a cocktail called Old English 800.
Yum.
And then the next scene is me puking in a glass with Jack Daniels right next. But so we... with our partners at Beer Safari, it's a jungle of beer out there. We managed to get our only decent distributor in town in trouble with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. So I took the link off.
What did Steve have to say?
Oh, he was okay. He didn't know what it was. So we learned something that freedom of speech applies to everyone, but not if you're a beer distributor. Apparently, there was something we shouldn't ought to did.
I guess when
you guys wouldn't believe the amount of hate mail I got for dissing the Old English 800.
Really?
Just stacks and stacks of hate mail.
And were most of them like illegible?
They're written. Written on the back of a brown sack, you know.
And a number two pencil.
The reply address was parking lot of the Stop and Go.
Under the bridge.
Under the bridge. Third refrigerator box from the end. Oh, man. I don't know what the hell came over me, but the other night, for whatever reason, I had me some malt liquor. I got into some Molson Triple X and some high gravity Budweiser. I forgot what it's called, like Hurricane or something like that. It's some high gravity stuff. It's like 8% malt liquor. Man, that stuff will tear you up.
Why? My question is why?
I don't know. I got no excuse. Whatever it was, I got over. I guess mixing the medicines wrong or something.
Temporary insanity.
I'm pleading the fifth on that. But, anyway.
That's like self-flagellation.
I know. I guess it was like a purging or something. I've been drinking too good lately, and I had to go and have something really foul and nasty and bad.
That's kind of like every now and then you go, I got to go have some Taco Bell. But it's just every now and then.
And then you think, what have I done?
Yeah. Then you realize why you hardly ever go to Taco Bell.
I had Taco Bell like 2 days ago. And, of course, it takes a day to ferment.
Yeah.
And I thought the cat had got under the covers. I heard this. That's coming from my stomach. My wife heard it and thought the cat was under the covers. It's like, it won't stop.
That's the anti-Taco Bell noise.
It was. It was my body's natural defense system kicking in, fighting the Taco Bell. All right. So we've tried to stay clear, unlike Vince, the ShamWow. What was the thing you were saying? He's going to be the ShamWow is now in the SlamWow. And And Skeeter, his roommate's going to give him the cram wow. But you know, we got something coming up though. We're rapidly approaching, and we mentioned Memphis in May. I said that about the guy we were listening to coming in was Tommy Castro, and he's going to be at Memphis in May. We're going to be at Memphis in May. That's in May, but we got something coming up before then in April 15th. Tax time.
Oh. Tax day. Exactly.
And it is a reason for, if there was one of those days, you know, that you don't think about, but you know that if there's ever a day that you need a beer, it'll be on that day.
I've already done mine.
Well, you're just better than the rest of us.
So I will drink a beer on that day for all of you people that have been putting it off. I'll drink a beer in y'all's honor.
I've put it off. My goal is to try and file on time this year. That's my goal. I haven't achieved that goal in many years, but should.
You know how to find a good accountant, don't you?
No.
You ask them how much taxes they paid last year, and if it's zero, then you use them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They know how to get around the law.
That's right. They know how to break the law legally.
The loopholes.
Breaking the law legally.
That's what we need. So, you know, sometimes we need to lighten these moments with a bit of class, a bit of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we keep the Big Foamy Head interpretive dancers on staff just for these moments. So cue the music, and Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater presents Beer Haiku. This is from BeerHaikuDaily.com. Tax time. Ready with tax forms. A pencil, calculator, and a case of beer. Beer Haiku.
There.
Yay.
Class. Culture. Brilliant. Topical. Timely. Pairs well with BrewDog. What do you think?
I'm loving
this.
I'm jiggy with it.
You guys need to get your hands on some of the Storm because it's really impressive.
We do. And Rick, you're going to love this Riptide. And I'll tell you what we did. We got this bottle out before we started recording. We let it sit at least 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we poured it. And we're still drinking on this.
It's a much better beer now than it was 15 minutes ago.
It's warmed up.
Yeah.
This has been in our glasses at least 15 minutes, not 20 or 30.
It was way too cold to start.
And so you really start getting a lot more complexity as it warms up a little bit. We're drinking it out of pint glasses. I noticed the nose still has that kind of molasses, warm kind of smell coming through. And so it's warmed up quite nice. Are you still drinking? Has yours warmed up a little? Rick?
My Storm?
Yeah.
It's this is just really wonderful. I haven't had anything like this quite, and, you know, maybe I need to start trying the scotches. I've always been shy of drinking scotch, but
I think it would
help you to appreciate this.
I think that's one of those things that when I tried it way the hell back, I had some rot gut, and I've never had it since. And I know you know, you hear people rave about it. People at liquor to people who drink liquor, there are more Scotch aficionados than bourbon, and I'd compare that to people who drink wine versus beer. Right? There seems to be a little bit of a elitism, I guess, with Scotch. Mm-hmm. But hell, you know, anybody can buy that except for the Johnny Walker Blue and some of the high end things. But
You can spend a lot of money on Scotch, but you can get a good average Scotch too that'll drink well.
I wouldn't know good from bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna try and learn. I've started drinking more wine.
What makes the better Scotch better is it doesn't hammer your head in the morning.
Well, I think that'd be true about anything.
Yeah.
But, now, you know what? You mentioned, so I was going to tell you, I was going to go down the path about quality is where you find it, and you got to try different things. But guy from Shinedown. I hate that I can't remember his name. I don't want to call him the wrong name.
Just call him the guy from Shinedown.
The drummer. He has something in his article. And, Rick, I think this is where we need to weigh in a little bit about IPAs and headaches. And he suggests that the hoppier the beer, the more likely you'll have a headache in the morning. I don't think hops have anything to do with it. Because now this is my opinion here, but he's saying hops are analgesics, and analgesics can lead to issues. He's going down a path, and he's backing it up with some data, and it's like, okay, well, this is pretty good. So that's what I'm saying. Shinedown, not only is this guy saying, I like me a good beer, he's into it. He knows about the hop content. He knows, and he's putting something out there. So, again, I'd suggest you check that out.
Well, in your history of drinking, can you remember the headaches that you've had?
Well, yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. I love a good IPA.
Yeah.
And I don't recall. I mean, when you drink, you know, I always say, you want to avoid hangovers, drink good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Don't drink the rat shit, you know, the Bud Lights and malt liquors and stuff. But I never have any problems with it because I'm drinking good beer.
You know, Mike, I don't recall ever having a hangover.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I had some nasty hangovers. But I mean, with, you know, like if you're drinking a bunch of good beers, you know, as long as you don't just go, you know, crazy with it. But I don't associate, oh, I was drinking a bunch of IPAs versus I was drinking a bunch of wee heavies.
And you know what? It's all about your body. And if you're hydrated and things like that, because alcohol is a diuretic, number one, and that's going to eliminate a lot of liquids out of your system. And that causes a lot of headache. So
I think we need to do some field testing.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do some scientific type research.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go buy a bunch of IPAs.
Yep. One of us will get tore ass up drunk on IPAs. The other will endure milk stouts and more malty beverages and see what happens.
Yeah. That'll work.
And they, like the Shinedown guy, I mean, we could do some Belgians, too, just to test the theory.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, lest we forget. All right. Well, I'm spent. I've said everything I was set out to. You got anything?
No, that's about it. I guess I'm done too.
Some good stuff.
Not much from here. We had a blizzard. That was kind of interesting. We had about 24 inches of snow on the patio.
Wow.
We had just gotten back from a ski vacation the day before from a steamboat. So
you were begging for snow luckily, that day, weren't you?
Yeah. Huh?
You were begging for snow that day, right?
Yeah, when we first got to Steamboat, it was like 40 to 50 degrees, and basically it was slush and ice up on the mountain. And then it started to snow, so we had a really nice ski day. Then Wednesday, it was like, okay, we got to get the hell out of here because this blizzard's coming in. It's a good thing we did because this place got shut down for at least 2 days. Damn that global warming.
Yeah, that's right. yeah, it's all Al's fault. He's behind it. This global warming didn't exist before he started bringing it up.
That's right.
So good stuff, man. This Riptide Brew Dog, good brewery. Nice offerings.
Rick, I got something to tell you. Be glad you split because we just got a letter from the tax assessor saying our home property went up by 20-25%.
Yeah.
In this market.
Wow.
In this market that we're in. So I'm going to be fighting that next week.
So you can't sell it for now. Now you really can't sell it for what they think your house is worth.
No way.
You're screwed. Nobody's moving.
You couldn't sell it at what they thought it was worth the day before you got the letter.
Yeah.
Really amazing stuff.
But you don't have a state income tax, so
there's
that. Blessings.
There's
true,
that.
True. But we got 9.75% sales tax too.
That's
what's
true.
Y'all's sales tax?
2.1%.
It's not a lot better. No, it's not great. I mean, it's still around 5-6%. So,
well, damn,
we get taxed on everything.
Quarter. Yeah.
Well, you know, we could spend the next 4 hours bitching about how bad things are. But the only thing I can say that makes it all a little more easier to take, unlike Vince and the Cramwell, is a good beer like we got from BrewDog. This Amen. Is a, I mean, I think even though Mike and I have got the one, Rick listening to you, and you're not one to just hand out praise, but these guys are really bringing some art to brewing and are producing some unique products. We've talked about three of them, the Punk IPA, the Riptide Stout, and the Storm Crazy Wild Ass Whiskey Irish, or Scotch Whiskey Barrel Charred IPA. And it's these are all really interesting, and I know we're going to be drinking some more BrewDog. Be sure to listen to show 121 if you want to hear the whole segment with James Watt from BrewDog. And like I said, I think we'll be drinking some more.
Check out Beer Safari while you're out there, because it's a
jungle of beer out there. I'm watching Rick's lips move.
Yeah, that video is delayed.
No, I'm just listening to you guys. You're entertaining me.
I was looking at the video, though. It's like that delay, and he's talking away, but there's no sound.
Yeah, he's like he's in deep conversation with a Russian astronaut or something.
Oh, brother. All right, well, that's it. Let's wrap it up. Good stuff from Riptide. Rick, you got a favorite of your two beers?
The Storm, definitely. It's a very unique beer.
I hate to say, but I'm thinking I'm liking Riptide over Mike's Milk Stout.
Well, I'm which right was, there with you.
It was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But this is something special. Everybody needs to try you some BrewDog and Riptide. And by the way, as an FYI, if you have any difficulty going to BigFoamyHead.com, it's because we're moving. We're moving servers around and changing things, and hopefully you'll be adding a bunch more stuff in the very, very near future for you to enjoy. So,
Tennessee Bureau has shut us down.
That's right, yeah. One of them, and we're doing time, and we're sharing a cell with Vince. All right, see you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
Come on, I drink good beer when I go home. I got the beer bar boogie, you know. Beer bar boogie for show. Everybody doing it. Beer bar boogie now. Fly. He fell on the floor, bust a hole in his head. Everybody thought that old cat was dead. The first thing he said when his speech came back, pour me some beer in that muggy glass, 'cause it's the beer bar boogie, you know.